Amen. Certainly we give honor to the pastor of this great branch, Zion, to the master ceremony, and to the pulpiteers, to the deacons, officers, members, to everybody in the house of the Lord this evening. Blessings to all of you. Just good to be here. I was telling someone as I was coming in, you know, every time I come to this church here, I always think about Reverend Fleming's. And Reverend Fleming was a dear friend of mine, and he got me started. Amen. Some 36 years ago, and Pastor Bishop Welch helped me out tremendously. And one thing I like about what Reverend Fleming's did for me, and he say, Reverend Pam, he said, I want you to go down and I want you to help me out at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I also want you to help me out at Patilla Chapel, and because I need a little help and I want you to be my assistant pastor. And Reverend Fleming had me to go over to Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I think that the church it was every other Sunday, and also he was here too. And it helped me tremendously. And because of that, I was able to go into the military to become an Army chaplain, and one of the greatest joy that I ever experienced. So you all are wonderful, blessed with a great pastor that came behind Reverend Sesson, and now you got Reverend Horsley. Amen. And I tell you what, I'm a little nervous here because I'm coming behind some great men's here. And then I look over to my left, and I see one of my classmates, and I see Sister Julia over there, the first lady of this great church. And one thing I can say about Judah, and you know, back in high school, I was sort of kind of average kind of guy, or even below average kind of guy. And Judah was very smart. And when the exam came to time, when time to take an exam, now she didn't have to take the exam because she was just smart. And when I took that exam, and they say, now you can't turn the paper over. You got to wait till we tell you, and then when I tell you to start, you start. And I tell you, I'll be one of the ones that start and be the last one coming out. And I say, well, you know, I say, this thing ain't fair. You got the ones that know a whole lot. They don't even have to take that exam. But however, I made it through, and you know what I had? A thank you, Lordy. Thank you, Lord. But before I get into the sermon, I want Patilla Chapel, all the folks, members, and everybody from Patilla, I want you to please stand and just want to show your beautiful, beautiful faces. And I must say, I love those folks over there because ever since Reverend Fleming had me to go there, and I was looking at the children there, and I used to do something for the children. All the children that made A and B, they get $5 from Reverend Pear every 6 weeks. And then, Sister Ann, you remember that, right? And then all the folks that had A's, I gave $10. You know, the church won't pay me a whole lot of money, but I was giving it anyway. And so I just had a great love for Patilla Chapel. And I see a few members from Cool Spring Missionary Baptist Church. I want you to stand too. All right. Amen. Amen. And I was looking in the front. Look at these deacons here. I thought they had a special program today going on. Amen. They looking good, looking good. And also my high school sweetheart. I want you to stand. High school sweetheart. Forty-two years, and we dated, as you heard me say when I stepped down altogether about 44 years. She really looked out for me, and 40 years in the military, and she's still with me. So Iraq and Afghanistan, we went through some difficult times when I was there, and I thought that I won't come back. But by the grace of God, and I can tell you what the Lord has done for me. Unbelievable. And one last thing, and then we're going to get into the word. And some of you have probably have already heard me say this before. I had the opportunity to visit Beijing, China. And when I got to Beijing, China, and I thought about the Iron Curtain, when they used to have the Iron Curtains over there, and I looked and climbed the walls of Beijing, China. And as I was climbing the walls of Beijing, and every step that I made, it was like unbelievable. And they say that Beijing, China, the Great Walls, are one of the seven wonders of the world. And I looked over at the wall, and farther than the eyes can see, farther than the eyes can see, just the wall all around. And they said that if you are in space, you can see the Great Wall. But what really touched my heart, and one of the Chinese folks told me, say, Chaplain Pear, you know that when we were building that wall, when they built that wall, and when the Chinese gotten sick, they threw some bodies right on into the Great Walls of China. And he gave me some history of it and gave me a even better respect of the Great Walls of China. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, look what God can do. He can do anything. Anything. All right. Again, Pastor Horsley, I just want to thank you and those who invited me, just in case that I forget, to be a part of this program. All right, for those of you who have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me to Acts, the 6th chapter, 3 and 4 verses. And when you have found it, say amen. Acts 6, 3 and 4. I see my sister and brother-in-law back there. They sneaked in on me. Sade and Robert, you all stand up and let them see who you are. Amen. Amen. That's my oldest sister there. Amen. And Robert, they've been together for, you all heard that, right? All right. Amen. All right. Acts 6 chapter 3 and the 4th verses. And it reads these words. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I want to use for a subject, it's your time.
Amen.
It's your time. Let us bow our heads just for a moment. Gracious God, as I stand before your people and in your presence, I pray now that you will use these lips of mine, yes, that you will touch every heart in this sanctuary today. Yes, we ask, dear God, that those who don't know you, we ask, dear God, that you will pick them up, turn them around, and let them know there is a God that set high and looked low. Yes, now, dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. Amen. It's your time. Luther Burns from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, sang a song, It's Your Time. And he said that you've been faithful, you've been true, you have done all that you can do. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You applauded for the rest. Now it's your time to be blessed. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. I like that song because it is so powerful. It speaks to the truth, what leaders of the church do every week. You go to Bible study, Sunday school, worship service, conference meeting, and all the other things that you do, and giving your tithes and your offering to the church. And Luther also said that you encourage everyone else, and when you need it for yourself, for your faithfulness, it's your time. Leaders of the church always ought to be happy to know that we have a desire to serve the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing when men and women want to serve the Lord. Can I get a witness? Yeah. And let us remember that a godly service heart would never hurt the body of Christ, but only to seek what is best for the whole body. Amen. There's qualification for a servant. Can I just take my time? Well, my brothers and my sisters, there is three concepts of qualification for a servant. All right. And that is character. All right. Know who you are and where you're going. Okay. Ability. Know your skills and know your talents. Relationship. I fell in love with the Lord a long time ago. And because of his mercy and his grace, yes, he brought me where I'm at today. So God provide a list to help us to see spiritual qualification that is expected in every leader of the church. You are a living example of what all members are striving to become. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse, he said, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in the faith of Jesus Christ. All right, man. All right. Now, deacons, deaconess, trustees, ushers, and all of God's servants are a blessing to the church. Amen. Because people's needs are met. Others are released to the ministry of prayer. And in the word, the church grows. And if you are faithful, God has a reward for all of us who serve the church well. Amen. Can I get a witness, somebody? You gain an excellent standing in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of the church. And as you are used by God, your leadership and confidence increases in God. Y'all praying with me today? And when you serve well, your greatest reward is going to be standing before the throne of God and hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Bible tells us that Stephen was one of the first deacons chosen by the church. And then, not only that, to tell me that Stephen was very faithful. And because of his faithfulness, every now and then, that because of our faith and what we believe in, somehow that Satan tried to come and rob us of our joy. But I want to let you know something about Stephen. Stephen stood proudly in the face of angry Jewish leaders and told them of his faith. Stephen said, look, I see heaven and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And those Jewish leaders, they cover their ears and they yell at the top of their voices. And they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him.
That's right.
And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and began to cry. And he said, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. And the Bible said that he died. And I don't care how much Holy Ghost power that you might have. I don't care how much religion that you have. And every now and then that when you talk to folks, that some folks don't even want to hear about Jesus.
Right.
Can I get a witness, somebody? Today, Jesus asked us to come forward proudly and confess our faith in him and to give your very best to him as a faithful servant. It still takes courage to stand in a crowd and say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you stand up for God, God has a reward for you. And some of you have been faithful servants for a long time. And I know that you know the word of God. And every now and then that we're going to have some ups and we're going to have some downs. But the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And there are some leaders that reminds me of Peter. And where Peter followed the Lord and he loved the Lord. And he told the Lord, I will never forsake you. And however, Peter denied Jesus three times. And Peter wanted to protect those he loved. He meant one thing, but it came out the wrong way. Have you ever been in a conversation? You can be talking about one thing and meaning something else. Get the story all twisted and turned around. That's what happened to Peter. He denied Jesus. And some people say that, he say that he loved you, but he's kind of wishy-washy. He talked on both sides of his mouth. He say that he loved you, but soon you turn your back.
Come on now. Come on, preacher.
Folks, stab you right in the back. Can I get a witness? A faithful servant don't mind doing the right thing and pleasing God who sat on the throne of grace. Well, my brothers and sisters, a faithful servant have worked faithfully through the years. We'll have some ups and have some downs. But through it all, you have been faithful servant of the Lord, and the Lord has a great reward for you with your name on it.
Thank you, Lord.
But I thought about going back to Luther's song, and as I say that the song is so powerful and has so much meaning to the song, where he said that you have waited so long, but you held on, and you were strong, and your faithfulness, because you hung in there when time got hard and when it seemed like nobody cared. You kept right on working. You kept right on doing good things, and for your faithfulness, it is your time. And brothers and sisters, it's your time, and I'm going to tell you the reason why it's your time. Because look what the Lord have done for you.
All right.
You come into church, worship service, every week, the same folk, the pastors are preaching to the same folk every Sunday morning, Bible study, and look what the Lord have done for you. You get up in the morning and sometimes it doesn't feel like you want to even get up to come to church. But because of God's goodness and his grace, it is your time. Well, let me just say, I just want you to know that God will see you through in all that you do.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, every duty in the church not rest upon the pastor's shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something that you got to do. You know, when the Lord has changed your life and when he has put love in your heart, there are some things that you got to do.
Yes,
when there are sick members in your church, you go and visit them. When there are needs in people's lives, you try to meet those needs. When there are situations that arise in the church, you handle them under the pastor's supervision. You have a good reputation in your community. And without a good reputation, it can hinder the growth of the church.
Amen.
Are y'all praying for
me?
Your ability to lead others depend on the respect that you have earned by your faithfulness.
Amen.
Are y'all praying for me?
Amen.
Deacons, deaconesses, trustees, and all leaders are always to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You are not to be filled with your own self, with your own self-ambitions. You know, this might be the last time that I'm coming here to Rumsfeld and Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm not going to say I don't care, but I know that the Lord got my back. He's going to carry me to other places. But when God puts you in leadership position, you're not all of that in a bag of chips. I just want to let you know that. Because you have to be faithful until the end of death. Can I get a witness, somebody? Well, let me just share something. You are not to be leader that are full of the Holy Spirit, but you are the leader that is full and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this, and I know y'all might not like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow. I'm going to give it to you anyhow. If you are full with the Spirit, you will be Christ-like and filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Where Paul tells us in 5:22 and 23, where he says, you got to be about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temper. Can I get a witness, somebody? The preacher going to come. I'm just talking right now, but the preacher going to come after a while. Amen?
Amen?
When the Spirit of God is in control of one's life, that life will be a blessing to all who behold its action. God leadership is indispensable. You must be the one who have spiritual knowledge. The kind of knowledge that only comes by communion with the Spirit of God.
All right.
And I heard somebody say it a long time ago, hold on God's unchanging hand, because soon and very soon the King is coming. Well, let me share you a story about a faithful young man. David was a man of faith. There was one day that David heard that his brothers was on the battlefield. And one day that David carried lunch to his brothers on the battlefield. And he said to his brothers that I heard about what was going on. And everybody afraid to look up to Goliath. And we realize and we understand Goliath was a giant. And David told his brother, well, I will stand up against Goliath all by myself. And the brother said that, no, you can't go against Goliath because he's a giant and he's a warrior. He's a warrior among warriors. And then David said that, brothers, and he ministered to his brothers now. He said, brothers, you weren't with me when a bear came along and tried to kill my daddy's flock, but I defeated the bear. And then he told his brother, you weren't with me when that lion came and I defeated the lion. And brothers and sisters, about that time that David convinced the brothers and they took this armor, they had armor, but it was so heavy. It was so heavy, David couldn't put it on. And David said, I can't wear this armor because the fact that it's too heavy. And somehow that David told his brother, I don't need all of this. And the Bible said that David picked up 5 smooth stones. And it tell me that he picked up grace. And I believe that he picked up amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. And then I think that he picked up hope. And now I believe that my hope is built on nothing less but the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, on Christ the solid rock. And all other ground is sinking sand. Well, then I believe that he picked up mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. And I'm not who I used to be. Just have a little mercy on me. And then he picked up this smooth stone of love. And where love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. But he didn't stop there. He went on and picked up victory. And then I'm reminded of the songwriter say, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I know him. And all my love is due to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So he picked up victory and put it in his slingshot. Y'all praying for me? He picked up victory in his slingshot. And then when he picked that slingshot up and pulled it out of his little pouch, and he put victory in that slingshot. Now, I don't know, he pulled it back like this here and let it go. Or he just, you know what I'm talking about, how he, and let it go. He had a one shot, one kill. And because of his victory against Goliath, you know what the Lord done for David? David became a king. If you are faithful and know your ability, know your relationship, God can do the remarkable, a marvelous thing in your life. God is everything to me. He is my rock and he is my salvation. He is my lily in the valley. He is my bright and the morning star. He is the great I am. And I'm so glad that he gave me and saved me and loved me and baptized me, because one day I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But my master heard my distressing cry, and love lifted me. Look what the Lord had done. The Lord have brought us from a mighty long way. The Lord have given us something that each and every one of us have a gift and has a talent. But you can't set on the talent. You can't set on your gift. Because look what the Lord did. You know the story about the coin. That if God gave the man the coin and he didn't use what the Lord had given him, he lost what he had, gave it to somebody else. So if you don't use what God has given you, you lose it. Can I get a witness? Well, I'm going to bring it on home now. Getting into my closing now. Well, I think about how far that God has brought me. A little child growing up, scared, worried about what everybody else going to do or say. But the Lord came into my life and he saved me. And because of his saving grace, now look at me now. And I'm so glad today that the Lord has changed my life. I'm so glad today he picked me up and placed my feet on a solid foundation. I'm so glad today that he changed me. He molded me, made me who I am, because the love that he have given me, now owe it all to him. Look what God have done. He sent his only begotten son for you, and for all of us. carried him to the cross on Calvary Hill. Yeah. They stretched him wide with his head bowed down. Not only that he went down to the grave of death. Somebody said that Jesus went down to hell himself, but hell couldn't hold him down. And then I just want to say that when he went down into the hell of death, somehow he asked hell, Satan said, "Where is thy victory?" And somehow Jesus took the sting out of death. But I want to let you know that our God lives because I know he lives. And he lives within my heart. He lives within my soul. And because of Jesus, I can face tomorrow. It's your time. God got a blessing with your name on him. So you got to receive God's blessing. And every day I wake up in the morning, I look for God's blessing. Because I know God is going to do a new thing in my life. Can I get a witness, somebody? It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time to be blessed. Put your hands together, everybody. And give God the praise. And before I turn it back over to Pastor or the Master Ceremony, and there's another song that I love because what God is doing in my life, and where the songwriter said that it's made no difference what you're going through. You're going to make it, and God going to see you through. And it said, hold your head up, put a smile on your face, and this is another test. It won't last always. Get ready for your blessings. Get ready for your miracle. And I know you've been hurting deep down inside. And let me encourage you, it's going to be all right. Amen. Trouble and trial come to make you strong. Keep on believing. Keep on holding on. God got a blessing. God got a blessing with your name on it. And with my name on it, it's your time to shine. Put your hand together.
Come on, let's keep thanking the Lord for the man of God. Let's keep thanking the Lord for the man of God. What a word on this Sunday afternoon. It's your time. Be blessed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Perrin for the word that he just shared with us. It's always proper when the word has gone forth to give the invitation to Christian discipleship. So I won't stand here in any form or fashion and just ask a simple question.